So what should the Greeks do? What should the Eurozone do? Say, listen, it's going to be painful. It's going to be bureaucratically horrible over the next 2 years because we've got to change all these contracts from euros to whatever currency they adopt. But should they do that? Should they get out and say, we'll go back to being Greece, and therefore people like me can go to Greek island and buy my drachmas and do what we used to do, and when Greece was what it was? I mean, it's pretending to be something it's not.
This situation is in chaotic meltdown right now. To answer your first question, what the Greeks should do, the Greeks should take responsibility for their own situation, playing the cards as their politicians are doing. If there is no alternative but to go along with whatever the EU dictates, is not impressing anybody, least of all the Greek citizens. They elect leaders. Please, gents, go ahead and lead your country out of this. And this simple solution, I think, is for them to revive the drachma and link it to gold. If they simply revive their own national currency, they're going to get whacked by George Soros and all these other speculators who go after weak currencies one by one. We saw it a few weeks ago with the Hungarian forint. But if they linked it to gold, that would reverse capital flight. It would incentivize Greeks to work hard and save money in a solid currency. It would incentivize foreign investors to put their money into a country when they, for the first time in decades, international investors would realize that central banks wouldn't have currency debasement powers. By linking it to gold, all I'm simply meaning is a practical measure whereby ATMs would still work, paper money would be in existence, but there'd be a national sort of currency board which ensured that every drachma that was issued in paper was backed by a corresponding amount of gold held in some reserve in Fort Knox or something like that.
I was talking to a chap from Anglo Gold Ashanti about 2 nights ago in Cape Town. He'd love to hear what you're saying right now, but it's not going to happen, of course, is it? There's going to be continuing rollovers and new political people coming in, and it's going to go on and on and on. And in 5 years' time, I'll still be waking up in the morning at 6 o'clock in South Africa and hearing about markets are cheered by the latest Greek bailout. That's what's going to happen, isn't it?
Well, you make a very good point. The sceptics who counter my points say, fair enough, Gordon, Cotton Partners, we certainly agree that a gold standard would make sense, but it won't happen by design, it'll happen by default. I think a gold standard is inevitable, and clearly the pain to be suffered by Greek citizens would be reduced if the Greeks got on top of this right now and started making contingency plans. They could do this in private as a plan B and have it ready to go when they have the next bailout negotiations in 2 or 3 months' time on bailout number 6, 7, or 8. I'm kind of losing count of them. I think the Greeks should recognize that there is no point in hoping that this kind of Eurozone approach is going to work, for the simple other reason that, the as you mentioned 2 minutes ago, there are other countries that are likely to have these problems coming into exactly the same kind of explosive focus very quickly now as well.
How dangerous is this situation? I mean, we can fudge it for a while, we can fudge it for another year, another 2 years. I mean, the US debt situation has been going on for a couple of decades now, but how long can we sort of plaster over what is happening in the Eurozone, so-called, at the moment?
I mean, I hate to say this, but I do believe in Churchill's great advice that to go forward, sometimes you have to look backwards. If you look at the really bad things that have happened in the past, when we've had currency meltdowns and unsustainable debt levels, we need look no further than Germany itself in the 1920s. And when their currency collapsed in 1923, 24, 25, because of the unsustainable level of World War One reparations they were exposed to, you had other countries looking in from the outside, cranking up the pressure on Germany, telling them to repay these vast sums of money. They responded by just getting the printing presses working overnight in the very same way that the European Central Bank and I think the national central banks of Greece and other countries are doing. And this led to complete socio-economic meltdown, the collapse of society, people being mugged in the street for their clothes. There's even a reference in Adam Ferguson's excellent historical account of this, When Money Dies, a reference to a middle-class family urging their 15-year-old daughter to sell her body on the streets because you're better to have a child prostitute in the family than your infants starving. It's very, very serious indeed. At the moment in Greece, we're reading reports, the suicide rate is jacking up. Families, young mothers, are giving their babies over for adoption. This is a terrible situation.
So it's not just macroeconomic, it's not just fiscal, it's not just monetary. It's a huge social problem in Europe, with 45 and 50% unemployment in the youth in places like Spain and Greece, and that has to blow up at some point. Is that what you're saying?
It will. It will. And then if you look at what happened a few years after this mid-1920s period in Germany, you then had the rise of a demagogic figure, Adolf Hitler. And that's the kind of situation I'm terrified of happening now in Europe. People will not put up with this level of unhappiness and lack of hope. We've seen the Arab Spring last year in many countries in Northern Africa and so forth. Commentators here in the UK have said, oh, that's because people got fed up with their political leaders. I think, you know, low-income people will put up with an awful lot of nonsense from their political leaders, but what gets them out on the street willing to take a bullet is when they can no longer feed their families or put a roof over their heads. And that's why I'm worried very much about Greece, Portugal, and maybe Spain as well.
How do we follow your work at Cobden Partners, Gordon?
Well, thank you very much. We've got a website, so we're putting up discussion papers every week or so. We're lobbying hard. It's cobdenpartners.co.uk. We're lobbying hard with various governments and opposition parties in many countries. We're in touch now with governments or parties in 9 different countries. I think somebody will come up with a solution to this crisis. I hope we're there. I don't believe that the major institutions of Europe are structurally capable of fixing the crisis because of the sort of history of the whole thing and so forth. And I think some, you know, fleet-footed people operating in the private sector from kind of outside the system will play some part in helping nations out of this. And obviously, I'd be disappointed after the 2 years' work we've put into this if we were picked to the post by a rival firm. But I'm not aware of any competition yet.
Okay, it was a sobering chat. Thanks so much. It was illuminating at the same time. That's Gordon Kerr, who is from Cobden Partners in the UK, and you can follow Gordon by going to the website that he just mentioned, and Cobden is spelled C-O-B-D-E-N.